Christ speaks often of humility. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and who humbles himself will be exalted. Unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever is the greatest among you will be your servant. This foundational teaching of our Lord is echoed many times in the rest of the New Testament. St. Peter tells us to clothe ourselves with humility. St. James says that God resists the proud but gives his grace to the humble. And St. Paul's letters are filled with the example of and exhortation to humility. Many of the saints have taught that the spiritual life must begin with humility. Both St. Teresa of Avila and St. Catherine of Siena teach that the most important thing in our spiritual life is to recognize that we, of ourselves, are nothing, and that God is everything. Many of the saints liken the virtue of humility to digging a deep foundation for a building so that it will be sturdier, and the deeper we dig, the more sturdy the building will be. Just so, the more we cultivate humility, the more firmly established will our spiritual life be. The lowliness and nothingness which the word humility evokes in our minds, since the word itself comes from the Latin word for earth or dirt, might lead us to think that humility is self-hatred or self-deprecation, but this isn't the case. Humility is the virtue by which we know ourselves as we truly are. And this means primarily understanding that everything good we have is from God, and every evil in us comes from ourselves, that we are nothing without God, and that He is everything. This realization of our true nothingness should lead us to seek our proper place. Think of the image Christ used in speaking of how we ought to seek the lowest place at the banquet so that we might be called up higher. This isn't an exhortation to false humility, but to a recognition of our real place with respect to God. And if we recognize this and act accordingly, it is only then that we can be honored and elevated by God. If we take the wrong place, we will be shamed before all in being sent down to our proper place. However, while humility is, in the first consideration, a recognition of our true place as sinful creatures, to know ourselves as we truly are, which again is what humility is, also entails recognizing and enjoying and using the good with which God has endowed us. To fail to do this through a false humility is also a sin against humility. If of ourselves we are nothing, and all the good we have is from God, humility entails not only acknowledging the former, but also the latter. Thus, one endowed with great intelligence is not humble by playing the fool or avoiding passing on his knowledge to others. He is in fact hiding the gifts that God gave him in order to serve others. The great athlete is not humble by claiming he is not a great athlete when praised as such by others. All the good that we have is from God, and He should be praised when we are praised. It is true that our gifts are from God, but it is true that we do possess those gifts. As St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, it is the Spirit that comes from God to make us understand God's gifts to us. Hence the sins opposed to humility are not only pride, but also excessive debasing of self, as both are a form of lying. We can see the virtue of humility's relationship to the theological virtues we have spoken about previously. In order to submit our intellect and will to God who reveals, which is done by the virtue of faith, we must humble ourselves and recognize that God's revelation surpasses our natural understanding. With regard to the virtue of hope, it requires humility to acknowledge that we look to salvation only on account of God's omnipotence and mercy and fidelity, because it is God's promise to us out of mercy and not our due. And in order to be filled with divine charity, humility must always be at work to empty ourselves of pride. A good way of cultivating the virtue of humility is by praying the Litany of Humility, by which, among other things, we pray to be delivered from the desire of being esteemed, of being loved, of being extolled, of being praised, of being consulted, of being approved. And we pray for the grace to desire that others may be more loved than us, more esteemed than us, that others may be praised and may be preferred to us in everything. Christ, of course, is the perfect model of the virtue of humility. In humbling himself in the Incarnation, he did not claim to be just like us in sin. He did it to raise us up to him. There was nothing false about Christ's humility. He taught us that he was our God and that we must love him with all our being. Even after he humbled himself further by washing his disciples' feet, he told them that they rightly considered him their master and Lord, and that it was because of his willingness, even as God, to humble himself in service, that they should with even more reason humble themselves. Christ's humility displayed who he really is as the God-man. It showed forth in a beautiful way the reality of God as love and his willingness to give himself for us.